Menards is your one-stop shop for all your summer essentials. Whether you're stocking up on everyone's favorite snacks, making a patio perfect for entertaining family and friends, or getting ready to gather around the grill, Menards has everything you need for your get-togethers all summer long. Save big money now at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Steve. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of this show. You're about to listen to the Felipe Esparza episode. He was highly recommended by my intern, Ren, so shout out to Ren for getting him for me. My favorite part of his interview was when he talked about his experience attending the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival up in Montreal back in the day. It's a crazy story. So thanks for tuning in. Peace. Oh, there he is.
What up, fool?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, man?
All right, we got Felipe Esparza. Thanks for doing this interview. I got a Patreon, and I already have questions that, yeah, I like the mask, man. I had questions already that my patrons wanted to ask you. So firstly, you're a stand-up comic. Are you from Los Angeles?
Yes, I'm from Los Angeles. I grew up in Boyle Heights, East Los Angeles.
Okay, that's what's up. Okay, so you're Boyle Heights. That's kind of a. Isn't there gangs around there as well, Boyle Heights?
Man, bro, where I grew up, it was called. When I went, my school was like inside the housing projects, like Aliso Village. So, and then you walk to like four blocks. There's another housing projects, and then you walk to another housing projects, and there's like a preschool, and that's where I live, like on the other side, like 10 blocks away. So there was like around, I would say 9 gangs. I could list them all too. There were First Street Cribs, Aliso Village, Brims, Cuatro Flats, TMC, Clarence Street Locos, East LA, Tiny Dukes, East LA Dukes. First Street, man, a lot of gangs, bro. Oh,
that's a lot, right?
Own.
So how did you navigate, man? You have a crazy story. I mean, that's like, you know, I'm not from there, but I've seen like American Me and movies like that. Is that kind of, you know, that movie depicted that area, right? American Me?
They shot that other movie, Blood In, Blood Out in my neighborhood.
Oh, that's one of my favorites.
Right there where Miklo Mom lives.
Oh,
that's
love
where
it.
I grew up, that neighborhood.
That's crazy. So, man, that's crazy. So how did you kind of like sidestep up? Because you had a lot of, that's a lot of pressure, you know, just being in that neighborhood. How did you kind of bypass that and get into comedy and all that?
Well, as a kid, I always wanted to be a comedian. But, you know, I just didn't know how. We used to watch a lot of, a lot of comedy videos at my friend's house.
Yeah.
Like Eddie Murphy, Bill Cosby, records, bro.
Yeah. Oh, the vinyl.
The vinyl, bro. You got to plug it in. He goes.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Live from Long Beach. Yeah.
Yeah. Did Cheech and Chong ever have an influence on you, or the movie Hollywood Shuffle? You remember Hollywood Shuffle?
No, my mom, she kind of didn't like drugs. Or anything like that, so we couldn't watch that stuff. We couldn't watch Cheech and Chong.
What about like?
It wasn't until later on when I got older and that stuff was available on tapes.
Yeah. Videos,
and we secretly watched those.
That's crazy. So for those of you who don't know, back then, before the internet, there was
comedy albums on vinyl, like Richard Pryor, Steve Martin, and et cetera, George Carlin, et cetera.
A cassette.
Yeah. Oh, cassette tape as well. That's crazy. One of my patrons wanted to ask what your let's before the last comic standing, because you did win the last comic standing. How did you get to that point? Like, where did you start your comedy career?
When I first started doing stand-up comedy, I didn't know how to write. So what I did was, hold on. Better.
Oh, it's fine.
So I didn't know how to write. So I went to a library and I picked up a book. Well, a librarian, like, she helped me, like, she just took me around the library to like the English, and like there was like screenplay writing and poetry, all that stuff. And then we saw a book called Comedy Writing Step by Step by Jean Perret, and I picked that book up, and that book taught me how to write.
That's cool.
Another book of that book, and they asked me to say something about the book. So I don't know if my quote might make it to the new edition of that book, because I have mentioned him, Jean Perret.
Yeah.
Jean Perret of Comedy Secrets, the book Comedy Writing Secrets. And I think his daughter, reached out to me to say something about him for the next book. So that was awesome, man.
That's really fantastic, man. That's good news.
Yes, I was on Joey Coco Diaz podcast once.
Oh, Joey Diaz.
Yeah, Joey Diaz. And he mentioned
how do you guys link up?
We met at the Laugh Factory, but Joey Diaz mentioned the book too in his podcast.
Oh, that's crazy.
That's right, cocksuckers. That's the book that helped me write. It was nothing about the hee-hees. Yeah. I would do blow. I would write jokes. I would choke a hooker.
That's crazy.
We met at the Laugh Factory.
He moved out of Cali, right?
Yeah, he moved back to Jersey, back home.
Why did he do that?
I guess he has a lot of family over there, like all his family.
Huh.
And Joey was raised by a family, a police officer who's still around. And all his family's over there. There's a documentary called Where I Get My Balls, and I'm one of the producers of it.
Dope.
Just look up Joy Diaz podcast, Joy Diaz story, and all his friends, his families in a video. So if you watch that video, you'll kind of understand what he's going home to, you know, like all his friends.
Right.
But he's getting older, bro. He's like 55, 56. He has a little daughter that he's raising.
Yeah.
Podcast doing well, and
yeah, his podcast.
All his work is in the East Coast anyways.
Right. I just noticed, the reason why I asked, because I noticed a lot more comedians are moving out. Like, Joe Rogan's moving out. Joey Diaz and a few others are just
moving out. Vaughn.
Yeah.
He's moving to Tennessee.
It's crazy.
Dean Del Rey. God bless him. He's a good guy. He moved out to Arizona. So anybody ever go to Arizona or Tucson? I think he's out there, either Tucson or Phoenix. He's out there. I think he moved out there. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
And Joe Rogan is in Austin.
In Texas.
Texas. But see, I'm from California. Like,
you're from like LA.
I'm in a position where I know all of California. Like, I don't just know West Hollywood. I don't just know the Hollywood Hills. I don't just know the comedy, like 10 miles from the Comedy Store, you know?
Yeah.
I know the whole California, bro. So if I wanted to move, I'm not moving, but if I wanted to move, shit, I just moved to Modesto, you know? I moved to fucking Bakersfield, bro.
Fresno.
Shit, I moved to Chino, bro.
Yeah.
To Riverside, bro.
Riverside, yeah.
You know, my money will go far in Fresno.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, will they be able to keep doing their comedy in different states? Because I thought you had to be in L.A.
Well,
comedy.
those guys, like whoever those guys like, are big comics. So they pretty much made it.
Right.
You know, they made it. It's like if a big movie star lives in Texas, you know, or Tom Cruise has a home in Wyoming or whatever.
Yeah, they could do that,
you know. They're like,
because they could fly in and do their shit and then fly back, right?
Yeah, and for a lot of comics out there, like who have the money right now,
yeah,
buy a house, man, in Texas and make that your like headquarters and live in LA, cheap, right? In an apartment.
Oh, no state income tax as well, and it's cheap, right?
Well, the no state income tax, but I didn't research this because me, I just go by the comments that I read.
Right.
So a lot of people are writing that the property tax is a lot over there.
Right, right, right. But it can't be as much as California. I mean, you need at least a mil to get something decent out here now, right? $1 million.
I love Los Angeles, man, because if I ever get sad,
yeah,
I could ever just go to Venice Beach and look at all the bums or all the people who, you know, not the bums, not the homeless people, but I'm talking about all the people that walk around like freaks, bro.
Yeah, I've seen them. Yep.
Like the guy who just shows up to Venice Beach and grabs a bunch of sand and makes a beautiful mermaid and puts a little bucket and charges fucking people to take a photo all day. Really?
That's what's up, though.
If that's talent, all right.
That's talent, yeah.
I'll stand right there and tell you the same joke all day for $2-5.
That's what's up. Hey, a lot of them, there's some artists down there, man. There's some legit artists in Venice.
The best one I ever saw, there's two of them. This one will rank probably a number two. Number two? I saw these skaters.
Yeah.
And they're like, they're pretty much on drugs, you know. They wanted to make money. So one of the guys had a sign that said, kick me in the ass for $5. So, man, you know me, bro. I'm not going to fucking give up an opportunity.
Yeah.
Kick redneck in the ass for $5. So if I give my, I give him my $5, and man, I fucking tighten up my fucking my K-Swisses, and I give him a little kick.
Bruce Lee kick to the anus.
Yeah, man. Oh, and number one, there's this guy in Venice.
Yeah,
I think he has stilts, and he dresses up like an 8-foot tree.
Yeah.
His name is Tree Man. Tree Man, bro.
Right.
He only speaks in tree puns. That's like, crazy. See you later. How the tree you been, you know?
That's crazy.
But dude, he's like a redwood plant.
Yeah.
He just chills, bro. Like, he'll chill like on a regular bush like that.
Yeah.
He'll scare your ass.
Oh, that's so creative.
When he stands up, he looks like Green Giant.
That's crazy.
So that's it, man.
This is crazy. I didn't think we were going to talk about Venice. I just wanted to I wanted to get back track with my patron questions. One of them asked what your last comic standing experience was like, because you won that competition, right?
Last comic standing?
Oh, yeah, man. Last comic standing, yeah.
My last comic standing experience, but my last set before I won, oh man, I can't believe I still had material left that was good, you know, that was solid, that was strong. But I have been doing it up until that time. I think I have been doing it like around 16 years.
Yeah. You know,
underground independent comedian, you know, just performing in California.
Yeah,
a lot of notebooks, you know.
That's what's up.
Ride drunk, yeah. Edit sober. And yeah, my wife, you know, she pretty much categorized everything. And she would help me put the jokes together or what joke to say.
Oh, your wife helped you in that aspect?
Yeah, how to put the joke together, how to put the joke together, like to what joke to say for last comic standing.
That's what's up. Hey, on a side note, because you know my brother's a comedian, and I know he had history with Freddie Soto, rest in peace, as well as Carlos. Did you ever open up for those cats?
Oh man, I did a show for Jeff Valdez, and you know, remember Jeff Valdez, CTV?
I don't think I remember him. No, I don't.
Funny is funny. It's a show, The Funniest Funny, that Carlo Mencia had hosted. He did Latino Laugh Festival.
Yeah.
He did a bunch of shows, man. He put me on a lot of shows. And 2 weeks before Freddie Soto died, I did a show with Johnny Sanchez, Freddie Soto.
Yeah, I know who Johnny Sanchez is, yeah, for sure.
In Las Vegas.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Freddie, man. What are your thoughts? Have you talked to Carlos? Because I know he's been kind of like MIA, you know, like what's that guy doing?
Carlo Mencia, I don't talk to him personally, but his handler, like his road manager, and I are really, really good friends
because yeah.
He lives in Florida. And he lives in Florida, and when he's not doing nothing, he'll go hang out with comics that know Ned, you know?
Yeah.
So Bobby Lee, I think Bobby Lee might know him too. He's a big, tall guy named Jose.
Right, right.
And he calls me. Him and I, we keep in touch. You know, every 2 weeks we call each other.
How's he doing?
He's doing, dude. Check this out.
Go ahead.
Carlo Mencia got bomb threats, bro.
What?
Like, I don't know. Like real, like B-O-M-B bomb threats. Yeah, man.
What? Whoa, that's a different level, man.
Yeah, I think at first I joked about it, like who was, like, really? Who was his opener, you know?
Yeah.
You're like,
he bomb, got straight bomb threats?
Who was his opener?
That's worse than a death threat, man.
No, yeah, but yeah, it was a bomb threat. Like, I don't know the details about it.
Yeah.
I know that he had, Carlo Mencia always sells out his shows. They're always sold out. So somebody called the Miami Improv in Doral, Florida, and said, if you guys put up a show, I'm going to blow up the place.
Damn. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, and, is this after Rogan got him?
This is like years Rogan? After.
After
what
the
happened
Rogan
to Rogan
shit?
Happened like around, what, 12 years ago?
Yeah, over a decade.
Yeah, but this bomb threat and recently, like, I don't know what started this.
That's
you know,
crazy.
Hope I'm not spreading rumors, but I heard it from somebody. And if you could also Google it and look it up.
Right, right. Is there any way like that he could rectify just his reputation by like maybe going on Joe Rogan and like they could talk it out as far as the joke stealing thing?
I think anything can be rectified with time, you know.
Yeah.
As long as you're not you didn't commit a sexual crime or an actual robbery.
Right, right.
You know,
or murder, yeah.
You know that I'm sure there's an episode that a great episode of Louis C.K. and Dane Cook. And
oh, yeah, I've seen that.
They confronted joke stealing.
I've seen that, yeah.
In an episode.
Yep.
Yeah, or...
I'd like to see that happen, like maybe Carlos doing that with Joe so they could both come together, you know, and then... And then maybe, you know, because Carlos, he helped my brother out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like my brother.
He helped a lot of people. He helped a lot of people out. A lot of people don't know that, but I'm not I wasn't like a Carlo Mencia fan, you know, but I do remember that when I first went to the Comedy Store, like he went up there. I didn't know who he was. And I tell you what, he was the funniest one.
Yeah. He had
a standing ovation. But, I forgot what I was talking about.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Let's get on to the man. This is flying by. Okay.
I think if Carlo Mencia can hook up with Tekashi 6ix9ine,
yeah,
and do like some kind of sketch. You're mad. I'm mad.
Oh man, that would blow up the internet.
People think that I'm not choosing sides. You know.
Yeah.
But, of course, Joe Rogan is a successful comedian.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as comedians go, I mean, he's at a he's in a pinnacle of comedy that wow, and that's something that he created, which is even better, you know.
Right,
nobody
can
take that away from him, you know. Like nobody can say like, "Oh, this is mine. We gave you this." He did all this on his own.
Who, Carlos?
No, Joe Rogan.
Oh, Joe Rogan. I mean, he's the reason why I'm doing this thing, you know. Like, you know, he started all this shit, you know. But you know, I want to get past Carlos because it's a touchy subject with the
Joe Rogan.
I want to get back to you. How did you get your first Netflix special? Like, what was that like? That experience.
I have two special. I have a special that's on Netflix right now, but that was not a Netflix special. I had done that with Scott Montoya.
Yeah.
From the guy who did the Latin Kings of Comedy.
That's what's up.
I got that, man. I was talking to. I did a show in at the Lincoln Center in D.C. with Alex Raimundo.
Oh, that's what's up.
Latin Kings of Comedy.
Yeah.
And him and I were walking around D.C., bro.
Yeah.
Like smoking a fat one, bro. Like right there, bro, where Martin Luther King and Forrest Gump did their little speech.
Yeah.
I was standing right there going, fuck yeah, 4 scoring years, whatever.
That's crazy, yeah.
And he asked me, have you ever done a special? Alex Raimundo. And I said, no, but I'd love to do one. He goes, I can hook it up. Well, hook it up then, man.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of people say they're going to hook it up.
Yeah.
But, you know, just I thought he was cool to say he was going to hook it up.
Yeah, he did.
But the next day, I get a call, and they tell me to get ready because I'm doing my special in 2 weeks.
Damn. Can we give that dude a shout-out? That's a really cool movie. Can we give him a shout-out?
Yeah, that man, that's a comedian, Alex Raimundo.
Shout out to Alex Raimundo for hooking up
from Acapulco restaurant.
That's what's
from,
up?
From Acapulco, Mexico.
That's what's up.
Kentucky. That was like the original man. He grew
that's
up.
That's your homie
like,
right there. He hooked you up.
Get him on
that's,
the show.
That's
man.
A real.
So that fool hooked
move.
It up, man. Like the next day, boom.
There you go, man. That's cool. Hey, where can people what's the name of the specials on Netflix so these viewers could go right to it and check you out?
Go to Netflix and look up Felipe Esparza, F-E-L-I-P-E. The special is called They're Not Gonna Laugh At You.
Okay, They're Not Gonna Laugh At You.
And September 1st, I have a new special.
Okay, that's what's up. The next question is, how did you get your nickname Batman?
Oh, man. I was, I had got kicked out of my girlfriend's house by her mom because I didn't have a job.
Yeah.
And so I was bumming it, and I didn't know. I was walking around literally with a big old hefty bag
of your clothes,
going from friend to homie, from homie to homie, or sometimes some of my friends will let me like they'll give me their car keys.
Yeah,
I will put my my clothes in their trunk and take a big nap in the back seat.
Right.
But this went on for like 2 weeks. But then I had like this really, really tight Batman shirt.
Yeah.
Right? But I've always had Batman shirts, you know?
Yeah.
But this was not a shirt. It was one of the underwear, bro. The underoo.
Underoos.
Yeah. So I had it on for a while. And they never really call me by my name anyways, like Felipe. They never call me by my name. They just say, hey, fool, or what's up, fool, or this fool. Hey, call that fool. Damn, fool. No name.
Yeah.
So he goes, what's up with fucking Batman over here? And I said, what? This fool's Batman, eh?
That's crazy.
This fool is showing up out of nowhere all crazy, and then he's all quiet.
So you said underoos, because that means you grew up like when I grew, because I'm old, man. So that's like 80s, 70s, 80s. I remember the theme song. I'm like Underoos are fun to wear. You know, like they had a whole song.
Wow, I don't know the song.
Yeah, they were like tidy whities, but like one of them would be like Superman. Blue. Or, you know, like Batman or a Wonder Woman. But they were.
My brother had Wonder Woman.
Yeah, they had, Fruit of the Loom. They were like tight Fruit of the Loom underwear. And yeah. I remember the commercials like Saturday mornings, and I'm like, oh, I want to get some underoos. Yeah, so man, we're around the same age.
I only had the shirt at the time. Somebody gave it to me, I guess, if I'm bad. Yeah. But it was tight.
So you're a 70s kid then, because that's like our age. Like I was born in the 70s. You too, right? Yeah. Okay, I kind of put that math together.
Hell yeah, bro. I remember watching Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, me too. And then Saturday, the cartoons, for real. They show cartoons every Saturday morning.
It's weird now watching Cosby Kids.
Yeah, I mean that's crazy, the whole Cosby thing. Yeah, I mean, well, that guy's in jail now. That's crazy. Another question is, man, this is flying by. How did you get involved with Homeboy Industries?
Well, where I grew up, where that gang-infested area, there was also a church inside the housing projects. And there was a guy, a father named a priest.
Yeah.
His name was Father Greg Boyle. And when I was in junior high and high school, Father Greg Boyle used to have a thing called the youth group. And every Friday night at 6:30 or 7.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Evan. We all the teenagers who are allowed to go, and believe it or not, man, you would think that it'll be like 50 kids that will show up. Nah, man, it was just like 10, 8.
Yeah.
So it was just like 10 of us or 12 of us, and Father Greg would talk to us about something inspirational. Always, you know, like with a little bit of religion, but he's Catholic, so something inspirational, like. Chase your dreams or whatever.
Yeah.
Something inspirational. And then we'll do like a little activities, we'll play games.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the night, when it was time to go, he'll give us all a ride home. So we won't get, it was dark and we were young kids. So he'll give us a ride in the van, the church van. But one time I lied and I said, I don't know. I know people say I lied, but I don't remember lying.
Yeah.
I just know that I said West Hollywood. And he must have been asking some kids, where do you live? But I said, West Hollywood. But I'm pretty sure he's not stupid enough to know that one of these kids lives in West Hollywood. What the fuck are you doing here? But he would take us cruising.
Oh, just like
joyriding. Joyriding on that church van.
That's what's
and
up.
We'll be in the back seat. And here is these damn project kids from the hood, East LA, Heights. Going to West Hollywood, UCLA. And we'll get off the car. And man, I thought that was like, to me, like living in the projects, I thought it was like fucking Disneyland.
Oh, because it's like mostly like Beverly Hills, like different types of people.
It would be lit up.
Yeah.
And Father Greg Boyle will buy us ice cream. And then we'll get back in the van and
go back
home. So that was in junior high school.
Yeah.
That by the time I was 18, 19, 20 years old, that didn't exist. That was gone. That program was gone. And half of the kids that were in that program got shot or they joined gangs or they went to prison.
Yeah.
Or doing life in prison. Some of them are barely getting out.
That's crazy.
Some of them who got locked up when I was a kid are barely getting out right now. Like kids who did kids who did 27 years are barely getting out right now.
So what kind of bid will get you 27 years? Like armed robbery?
Murder, bro. Murder. Murder. Bank robbery. I know a kid that my brother used to have sleepovers with him, and they went up. Some man had broke down on the freeway.
Yeah.
And the projects are by the freeway. We can hear the freeway all night, all day. So a man broke down, and they went up there with an older guy who they thought was probably going to go help the guy. But it didn't turn out that way. That guy pulled out a gun, and she got out of hand.
Damn, that's crazy.
They ended up robbing the guy.
Yeah.
And the guy died, and those kids went to prison. They were like 18, 19, and they got out, 25 years later? I mean, they got out, and Father Greg Boyle from Homeboy Industry, he helps them with job skills. And
I was just going to ask. Yeah, so Homeboy Industries is probably like a nonprofit to help people transition out of jail, get them jobs, and GED, like stuff like that, GEDs.
So they helped, Father Greg Boyle helped me when I was doing really bad. Like, I didn't go to jail or I didn't go to prison, but I was on my way there. I got into a fight with some guy, and I decided to go to rehab and go hide.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up. But I take it now. You're not into what, you just smoke a little bit of marijuana here and there?
Now, yeah. But back then, no, it was everything.
Oh, it was everything?
Yeah, I was heavily addicted to crack cocaine. And in my late teens.
How did you stop doing that?
I stopped doing that for like for 11 years. And then I picked it up again at the Montreal Comedy Festival, bro. I was buying crack in Europe, bro.
Up in Canada?
Yeah.
That's like one of the biggest showcases for up-and-coming comics. And you're smoking crack.
Well, I was at a party, and I was there with Natasha Leggero, Jasper Red, Todd Larson, or the guy, Larson, and the manager from San Francisco Punchline. A redheaded girl, you know, we're all hanging out.
Yeah.
And I remember I was partying so hard with Jasper Red, drinking little beers.
Yeah.
That I was getting dizzy, and I was going, whoa, 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 whoa. And I sat down, and Natasha Leggero ran with a bucket, and I threw up in it.
Damn.
And so I forgot that we were in her room.
Yeah, were you able to perform and do your set?
Yeah, I did my set. This was after the set.
Oh, this is after. Okay, I was gonna say.
No, man.
That's crazy. If you're
this is after the set. This is the new faces, because there was a party for the big stars, like the grand finale. You know,
yeah.
But we decided to have our own party. We had the new faces party.
Yeah.
So. We had we opened up all our hotel rooms in our hotel rooms, all three of them, and we just started drinking.
Yeah.
And we all went to this club somewhere. They were speaking French and Spanish only. Like
that's
no
crazy.
English. So man, I put up my button like this.
Yeah.
And right away they thought I'm from East Los Angeles.
Oh, you had a penalty?
Everybody approached me, bro. And they were quoting Blood In, Blood Out.
Oh.
So, bro, I was walking around like this in the place.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They hooked me up, bro. They were buying me beers.
That's what's up.
And then I saw somebody, like, drop a bunch of white powder on a table. And that's where my spider senses went. like, rust, the back, the hair on my back raised. And they, I don't know what they did, but one of the guys, he put a cigarette in his mouth and got it really wet with saliva and rolled it all over that cocaine.
Whoa.
Like over and over, you know, like even making Like he was making marshmallow bars or something.
That's crazy, dude.
And then he put it, and then he lit that shit, bro. Damn. And I'm like, wow, what a waste. I thought we were going to snort that.
So you guys just were smoking.
Yeah, it was me, though. I was like, they were somewhere else.
Yeah. That's crazy. So what came about? Explain what the this Montreal festival was all about. It's for up and coming comics to get development deals. Am I right?
Yes. I had a manager at the time named Pat Buckles.
Yeah.
And one of her clients, she he was one of the guys that works for Montreal Comedy Festival. And I also think that he is the guy that runs Netflix now.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that guy used to start off in Montreal. I could be mistaken, but I think he's the guy that runs Netflix, like the main dude of comedy at Netflix.
So you got heavy-duty hitters going up there to scout out talent. Is that what?
But this is back in 2005.
Oh, you went Netflix back then. Before
Netflix existed. Like before Netflix existed,
yeah.
This guy worked for the guy who booked me for Montreal Comedy Festival in 2005 is the same guy I think gave me my new Netflix special.
That's what's up. That's crazy. So, because
I'm gonna give somebody the best advice that Paul Rodriguez gave me.
Go ahead. Shout out to the Rodriguezes. Man,
you better be nice to everyone you meet, man. Because you're going
to talk to him. Talk to him, Felipe. Talk to him.
Man, you better be nice to everybody you meet because you're going to meet the same people on the way up as you do on the way down. And I remember, man, that I was real cool with that guy in Montreal.
Say that last time. I really like that last thing you said.
I said, remember, man, be nice to everybody because you're going to meet the same people on the way up in your career as you do on the way down.
That's some real shit right there, man. That's some real words from Felipe right there. Man, I love it. The next question, like my patrons, they know all about you. And they asked me to ask you these things.
Back to Montreal, when I got there, as soon as I left Montreal, I was signed with a talent agency.
Yeah.
And, I was auditioning for a lot of movies after that.
Okay. So that helped you out.
Yes. And I got Premium Blend out of it.
My brother did Premium Blend.
Yeah. And I got to go to Amsterdam.
The thing with my brother, it took him a long time to go up to Montreal. He got invited like later in his career.
Late.
Real late. But I think he just did it the last one. And he was happy about that. The next question is, when and why did you go vegan?
Well, I went vegan. I tell you what, I was on the road. You know, when you're on the road as a comedian, you try so many things to keep yourself from dying of boredom.
Yeah.
Some people, man, decide to not eat meat all week. Some people decide not to eat cheese. Some people, man, decide to shoplift at every gas station for some reason.
Right.
Who normally don't shoplift. Me, I wanted to lose weight, so I got on that Atkins diet, which now is called the Keto diet. And, man, I was at low carb, like a motherfucker. I was at ketostic, they call it. Where I was burning fat, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
But what happened was I was eating cheese and steak all the time with vegetables, but I wasn't drinking no water. I was just drinking Diet Coke.
Oh.
And a lot of cheese and more cheese. So no water, man. I was constipated for like 3 days.
Diet Coke will fuck you up, man.
I was constipated, bro. I couldn't go to the restroom.
Yeah.
When I finally went to the restroom, man, I must have blew out my colon or something.
Diarrhea?
I had a hemorrhoid for the first time. That shit was so painful. It felt like I was being raped at night by ghost inmates, bro.
Damn.
And so I said, fuck this. He goes, I'm going to start eating shit that's not hard to digest.
Yeah.
So I just started, like, I'm going to say, I started looking up like what stays in your stomach longer than anything. So I saw that meat stays in my body longer than anything. So I'm not gonna eat anything that's not that's real hard to digest.
Right,
thank
right.
God, bro, vegan.
So what foods do you recommend? Because I haven't eaten a grip of spinach. That's a good food to eat, right? Because it's high in fiber and vitamins, nutrients and stuff. Yeah.
The great thing about being vegan now, there's a lot more choices.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of more choices. Go to Whole Foods.
Yeah. And how do you get your protein?
From greens.
From greens.
Like if I'm in the morning, like if I want to get a shake, I get a shake and I put like four dates on one banana.
Yeah.
Like a handful of spinach.
Yeah.
Almond butter.
Yeah.
The real spicy stuff. Ginger.
Oh, ginger. I love ginger.
Some ginger in there, man.
A little bit of
honey and ice. And that shit tastes like a Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up. You're going to have to maybe do a vlog and give us that recipe, man.
I will.
Yeah. The next question is, how did you start the What's Up Fool podcast?
I started the What's Up Fool podcast at Odd Things Comedy Studio with Al Madrigal and Bill Burr.
Yeah.
I was approached by Al Madrigal at the comedy store. He said that they were going to start a podcast network where it's mostly like a co-op.
Yeah. You know, I've been there myself. Yeah.
We don't pay no dues. We don't pay no rent for the studio.
Yep.
And we all share revenue and they help us get advertisement.
Yeah.
So pretty much all I got to do is show up and talk and say goodbye and I got to do no work. So
that's what's up.
I said, yeah. And I started the What's Up Food podcast with Rodrigo Torres.
Yep.
With my wife, Lisa Esparza, producing.
Uh-huh.
And then we now added a new co-host, Martin Rizzo.
That's what's up. And that's in Burbank, right? The All Things Good.
In Burbank?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But right now we're doing it on Zoom. And we've had a lot of guests. We have a lot of guests that have gone on to be big guests in other places. Like,
yeah.
We interviewed a guy who he was part of the Innocence program.
What's that?
Well, first of all, I was walking in Glendale and I see a guy with a Dodger hat holding a baby and he tells me, hey man, congratulations on your success. And I say, oh, thank you very much. He goes, you know, I voted for you. You did? Yeah, thanks. Me and my homies, we all voted for you when I was in prison. I just got out.
Damn. You know,
I did like 28 years. And I said, wow, I got out. I was innocent the whole time. And I said, you should come on my podcast and talk about it.
Yeah.
My name is Frankie Carrillo.
And how do you say that again? Frankie Carrillo?
Frankie Carrillo is C-A-R-R-I-L-L-O.
Carrillo.
And he was wrongfully accused of a murder in the 1990s, you know?
Yeah.
And so back in the 90s, they will approach the LAPD and crash unit. They will walk around, they will drive around, and if you look like a gangbanger or somebody who's up to no good, like a little thug, you know, 18 and older, it didn't matter what age you were, they will take a Polaroid photo of you and keep it a little log, like, this one belongs to 18th Street, this one belongs to Clanton, or this one belongs to Cuatro Flats or TMC. Yeah. So they have a little shoebox of these Polaroids.
That's crazy, dude. Hey, are there any?
So this kid
got
picked out of a lineup, out of a random lineup by somebody, and he went on to go to prison, and then that person recanted their story, and now he's all free, and he sued and won. He won like $12 million.
Wait, come again? How much?
$12 million.
Oh, good for him, dude. So he's chilling.
Yeah.
He bought a house. He's chilling. Hey, are there any gangbangers or people in gangs that don't have the shaved head and the Cortezes and the Pendletons? Are there ones that just look like normal people that they're kind of like incognito?
I think most of the ones that are like that are wanted. They're wanted. Because I remember, like, I saw a little homie from the neighborhood once. You know, I was coming from a comedy show.
Yeah.
And I saw him walking, and I honked. And that fool looked like a zookeeper, bro. Like, he was wearing some beige pants.
Yeah.
And some fucking boots with black socks. Some like, beige shorts.
Yep.
And, like, he was wearing a shirt with a green sweater. And he was wearing, like, a beige duck hunting hat.
Yeah.
And that fool, and I know that that guy is, like, that guy's bad, dude. Like he's a killer, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's just hiding.
So that's his disguise. I always wondered that because just being in this neighborhood, I was surrounded by graffiti writers, and they would tell me stories of how they, like a lot of the writers would be in like a janitor's outfit, you know, so they didn't look so suspicious and shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that exists. I'm sorry.
Do you remember that, though, when Tigers were at war with each other?
When who?
When Tigers were tagging over LA.
I mean, you would know more than I do. Yeah,
Chaka and shit?
No, I just know the dudes in this area were J.O.R. and MTA dudes. I'm not a writer, but they would bring me to the bar. Yeah. And sometimes we'd be drinking in the back, and they would hand me the marker and be like, "Hey, get up!" And then
it's scriber.
Yeah, and then I just remember I didn't have a name, but I would just do something real quick, and they would add. I would be the lookout guy. Sometimes they would be like, "Hey, look out for me," and I would be just looking around, make sure everything was cool.
I can't believe that some of these guys are still tagging, man. They're like in their 40s now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, like, there are
like Chaka and. Heck? I think Donner One is going at it again.
Yeah, I just hear Heck, you
know. D-O-N-N-E-R One. Oh, no. I mean, that guy took over the 5 freeway, bro.
Right, right. Now, that was really prevalent in your area as far as that was a way to get a career, like getting up, whatever, and then getting maybe, you know, like your own company that way or some shit like that, right? Saber, yeah. People like that.
There's another kid that was my age that Father Greg helped too, and he was also a tagger. He started off with those guys. His name, they called him Heaven, H-E-A, Heaven One.
Yeah.
And he's actually a renowned artist now. He lives in Venice Beach, and yep. He's doing awesome. He used to work for a big, big artist in Venice Beach. And
that's
like
crazy.
And he was like his apprentice, bro, since he was like 21 years old. So he worked with that guy for like 24 years. He worked with that guy until he passed away.
That's crazy. Yeah, I just remember like the local homies around here, they were really inventive as far as their materials. Like I discovered what Marsh ink was. I didn't know what that was. And Marsh ink, my homie was actually making a pen and pouring this type of ink that you can't erase. It's this impenetrable ink, but he was actually, it was like he was constructing his own lightsaber, you know what I mean? So I was tripping on that, like, whoa, they're like, he's like creating his own like thing out of this other ink into this pen. And I you know, I just liked observing back then, you know, I wasn't in it like that, you know? But just, you know, being around here, going to the local bars, I would just see, like the things, you know, written around the bars and like, you know, like what people didn't know is like this one bar I frequented, it was like probably 60% like people in like graffiti writers. Like they were near just in the Hollywood area, Hollywood Highland area.
Yeah. You're talking about that club right there by 7-Eleven across the street on Santa Monica and,
Was that a hip-hop club?
The Garage, yeah.
Oh, there was, there used to be, like, hip-hop nights where there's battles and b-boys and shit like that.
my wife used to go there before we were married, and there used to be a guy there that were like DJ with James Brown stuff.
Yeah, yeah, there's yeah, that's how I discovered a lot of these rest in peace Fife Dog. But I went there one night and Fife Dog from A Tribe Called Quest was actually there, and he ended up like battling some LA guy, and I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, what the fuck, what's he doing here in this small little club? And
damn,
it was crazy. And that's how I like discovered who the Shapeshifters were. I discovered who Circus from the Shapeshifters and all those guys were. Just
that's what I mean. I can't leave LA, man, because something like that never gonna happen in fucking Tennessee.
What, the history?
No, somebody just showing up that you think is cool. I'm sorry, man, but
yeah,
I'm not gonna be sitting there and Paul Stanley is gonna get up and play the guitar in fucking West Nyack, New York.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Bro, you're right.
I'll tell you, man, when I was. One of the best moments I ever had here in LA, and your brother was there.
Yeah.
The day after Thanksgiving. It was a Friday night, and I went to the Comedy Store to go see Joe Rogan with a bunch of friends, and I did a spot in a ballet room, killed it, and then we went to the main room to go watch Joe Rogan. We were like Joe Rogan fans, you know. We used to follow his page.
Well, I'm a fan,
Joe Rogan,
too. I'm
Joe
a fan.
Rogan,
yeah.
Joe Rogan.net, cocksucker.
Yeah.
And Joe Diaz used to come out of the wall, butt naked in cowboy boots.
Yeah, yeah.
And Joe Diaz would just sneak up on people and put his balls on their shoulders. So we were big fans, man, of Joe Rogan.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
We went to go see Joe Rogan. Then after that, we overheard, you know, we were just eavesdropping, my brother Fernando and I and the people with. And we saw that, we heard that Joe Rogan was going to go across the street because it was Chewy's birthday. Chewy, remember?
The big security guy, Chewy, yeah.
He was going to play his electric guitar.
He wore a hat, always wore that hat.
At the House of Blues. Yeah, he looked like a fat ass scarecrow.
Yeah.
He was like a hillbilly. He's just like Hillbilly Jim.
Oh, I'm a fan of Hillbilly Jim.
So that's the way Chewy dressed.
Yeah, that's of WWF.
Yeah.
I used to have the action figures. Remember the big, the rubber, the ones you could bend around?
I used to have the little Mexican wrestlers, all the ones with the little mask.
Coco Beware, Jimmy Superfly Snuka. I remember all that.
So we went to the House of Blues. Joe, everybody from the Comedy Store left.
Right across the street, yeah.
Across the street, and then I was with my people, and then we went there too, and everybody, Joe Rogan was over there chilling with his people, and I think whoever else was there from the Comedy Store, and man, Chewy was playing, bro.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget this, bro. Rick James shows up.
Really?
Yes. Rick James shows up and does a 5-minute solo on the keyboard and tells Chewy happy birthday, bro. Like, he starts playing keyboard. Yeah. And I always thought that Rick James played just guitar. But nah, man, he started playing the keyboard. He was a little messed up, you know. But and then he was cool, man. He shook our hand. And he goes, I'm going to go upstairs now. And
yeah.
You just telling us, like, fuck you guys, I'm going upstairs. So he went upstairs. And, man, I thought that was cool, man.
Damn, that's really cool. That's a really cool story. That's a cool story.
So I can't, you know, I can't leave California because of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like that, you know. There's so many moments, you know, that are going to be happening. I want to be there when it happens.
How are you holding up during this quarantine? And, like, how has it affected the comedy world?
Well, I did my first show in five months or 160 days, however you want to call it.
Yeah.
I went to Oklahoma City.
That's what's up.
and they were at 50% capacity. They were checking people's thermometer on the temperature on the way in with a thermometer.
Yeah.
Electric thermometer. They were making sure that everybody had a face mask. Yeah. All the wait staff wore face masks. And I ended up selling, well, I wouldn't say it sold out, but at 50%, I had like 200 people there on two nights.
Dope.
So it was tight, bro.
Hell yeah.
And we didn't sell no merch because of the 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
And we didn't have no meet and greet. So after the show, we just went to the green room and chilled.
Yeah. Okay, like I want to end it with this. I wanted to plug your, if you have a website, your social media, anything you wanted to promote right now, I wanted to get it out there. And so the viewers and listeners could
support. All right, man. I have two Netflix specials coming out September 1st. One in English, one in Spanish, Bad Decisions, Malas Decisiones, El Primero de Septiembre. I'm also in that movie with your brother and Pauly Shore, the house guest.
There you go. There you go. What about your Instagram?
My Instagram is Felipe Esparza, comedian. Snapchat, Funny Felipe. TikTok, Felipe Esparza, comedian.
Yeah.
Facebook, Felipe Esparza.
Yeah.
Everything else, just go to felipesworld.com.
Okay. What about merch? Do you have a store where people could go get a shirt?
Yes. I have a lot of merch. Right now, we're selling these masks right here with my face.
There you go. Can you show it again? Yeah, there you go.
Felipe's shop.
Yeah.
Felipe'sworld.com.
That's great.
And look.
How much for that? Yeah, I like that.
$20.
$20. Get your Felipe Esparza quarantine mask.
Double layered.
Ooh,
you know?
That looks like
and
nice.
It has
material,
a little wire, a little wire to adjust to your nose.
Yeah.
And if you have a real small head, it comes with a little clip to adjust.
Oh,
it.
Look at that. It's adjustable clip. Get it now at your website again.
Felipe'sworld.com.
Felipe'sworld.com. Get your quarantine mask today.
Get it, homie.
Watch Felipe's Netflix specials in the month of September, okay? Did we miss something?
Hey, man, I saw you walk. We met one time briefly, you and I, back in the day, bro. You walked in with your brother to the comedy store.
Yeah.
And your brother was wearing fucking overalls looking like Chucky, bro. You remember, right? And you were holding a skateboard, bro.
Yeah, I still.
You were holding a skateboard. Yeah, I was like, fucking. I was like, I already knew your brother, right? But I was making a joke with my friends. I said, what's up with fucking Bill and Ted Great Adventure over here? Where are they coming from? Monterey Park?
Man, it was an honor interviewing you, man. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me, bro. Oh, bro, check this out. Look.
Yeah, go ahead.
See that?
Oh, damn, that's a skateboard.
Christian Hosoi signed it.
Oh, damn, that's sick, man.
Yeah,
shout out to Christian Hosoi. Support my brother Felipe Esparza and all his endeavors. Definitely watch the special, buy the merch, support everything this man is doing. Did you want to give
old school, 8x10 I have.
Shout out to Richard Pryor. that's a great frame picture.
You know, I took it at the comedy store wall one night.
That's crazy, dude. Did you, Felipe, did you want to give any shout-outs at the end? Any shout-outs?
Oh, yeah, shout-out to this Omar Chaparro.
Okay.
We did a movie together with another guy named Oscar Torre and Edie Guinam.
Okay.
I did a movie called Seventh and Union.
Yep.
It was an independent movie, and, good things, man.
Okay. Thanks again, brother. It was an honor interviewing you. This is going to drop very soon. I'll let you know on my Instagram and tag you in the post, and if you want to post as well.
I will, bro.
Okay, man. Thank you so much, man.
Thanks, man.
Peace, love, and the best of luck on all your future endeavors.
Hell yeah, man. You got to get my homie, Alex Raimundo, on the show.
All right, man. Peace.
Peace in the Middle East.
All right, so that was it. I wanted to shout out just some of my patrons. Let me see here. Yeah, the newest patrons, Woodchill, Ricardo Mercier, Charles Lee, and my main man, Pedro Villanzuela. I also wanted to let y'all know that the pod in which we travel the music videos, we're working on editing it now. We're on post-production on that. Look out for that. I am going to be starting working on new music. I haven't decided yet how to approach it. And yeah, go to www.steviewebeshow.com if you want to pick up a shirt. Just know that the shipping is going to be delayed because of this quarantine and COVID-19 thing going on. If you want to support and keep this podcast going, go to patreon.com/steviewebe and make your pledge today. Become a patron. I do a cool, exclusive, separate audio podcast every Monday and only for my Patreons. So that's the main special thing I'm doing for Patreon. Instagram/QUANGOU is my Instagram. All my music's at steviewebebandcamp.com. If you want to send your packages, I have a P.O. box. I do a thing called Stevie's P.O. box. Send your packages to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. There is no Little Ray's World this week, but he's still lurking around. Peace.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.